simply, short title, God's Kingdom. Might be somewhat of an unusual message for Memorial Day. We'll be getting to that a little bit later. Be reading the portion of Scripture in Joshua where a memorial actually took place. In fact, the Bible's full of memorials. When they were told to build a, when God told his people to build an altar, it was usually always erected with stone. You don't see grave markers today made out of wood. Stone is used because stone is more permanent, more permanent. A lot of things in this life are not permanent, but stone is a more permanent material. And so it serves as memorial, probably the reason why our grave sites have stones. And so it's a more permanent memorial. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I believe you've laid this message in my heart today to share. And so, Lord, I pray that it'll do just what you have designed your precious word to do. It's to make us better Christians and to love you with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Life can get to be hectic, probably even especially even today. There's parties being planned, backyard parties are being planned, barbecues are being planned. Maybe yours will take place tomorrow. Maybe you've already had a party. But I'm grateful and thankful for those that went ahead and have procured freedoms that we enjoy in America like no other place. Even though there's a lot of things in America that I don't like, there's things I see that's taking place I do not like, but I can tell you there's more things I do like. There's a lot more things that I do like. I love America. I'm glad I'm American. I'm glad the Lord's seen fit to place me where I am today. I have so much to be grateful for, so many things to be thankful for. Having the opportunity to have been in Russia, nothing like place, like home. There's no place like home. There's lots of things that keep us busy. Work, things at home, school, here at the church. And I think it's important to ask ourselves, are we living for God's kingdom? Or are you preoccupied with your own concerns? Do we really know what it means, the kingdom? Jesus told his followers to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then in Matthew chapter 24, he listed the signs that would precede his return to earth when he sits on his glorious throne. Then in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus told the Pharisees that the kingdom was not coming with signs, but was in their midst. Now, you might seem that this is a bit of a contradiction. And so we're going to look a little bit further into the word, and we're going to answer those questions to give us a better understanding of God's kingdom. First of all, what is the kingdom of God? Let's answer that question. The kingdom refers to the rule of God. It describes the realm in which our Lord exercises his authority. When John the Baptist was baptizing in Israel, he had only one sermon. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. And then afterward, Jesus began his ministry and he preached the same message in Matthew 4 and 17 that you heard me read. The kingdom was at hand. The reason it was at hand was because the king was in their midst. Jesus was that kingdom. That's why it was in their midst. Christ came to set his kingdom up, but it certainly wasn't what the Jews had expected. The Jews were under the domination of Rome. They were under that domination of Rome, and they hated it. They just hated it. The rulers wanted to be known as gods. Can you imagine the Jews, how hurtful and offensive it was to them? They wanted to rule. They wanted to be the gods of the land, and they wanted the Jews to bend and worship them. They were gods. How offensive it must have been to the Jews. And it was offensive that they proclaimed to be gods when they knew there was only one God. And they thought that Jesus was going to be that Messiah that would come and get rid of this Roman rule. And that's what they had been expecting. But the kingdom that Jesus came was a spiritual kingdom, a glorious kingdom. The Messiah would come. The people needed to be set free from their sins. Jesus came to die on the cross to pay the penalty for mankind's sin, to overcome death with his resurrection. And then ascending to heaven, he set up a spiritual kingdom in the hearts of his people on Pentecost when this Holy Spirit came to indwell them. And God's kingdom is today present with us. He rules in our hearts, in the lives of his believers. But it will also have a future and physical fulfillment when Jesus returns to reign as king on earth. On Revelation, I did mark that. I'd like to read that. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, wast, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, to the saints, and to them that fear thy name. The second question that we want to answer today is, how can we enter God's kingdom? When Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he had answered that question. He said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 3. The only way that you can enter is to be regenerated. There needs to be a complete transformation. You need to recognize that you are hopeless. You're in a sinful condition, and you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ and accept him as your personal Savior. This is the new birth that Jesus was referring to. We're made spiritually alive. We're given the Holy Spirit and eternal life, Colossians 1 and 13 and 14. He rescued us from the domain of darkness. He transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. We are now a new creation in Christ, fitted for a new kingdom, and someday we'll rule with him when he returns to reign on the earth. Revelation chapter 5. I like to read Revelation. I got to go back to Revelation and read chapter 5. Just love the word of God. Revelation chapter 5, 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. And then thirdly, once we've been born again through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, what will be our involvement in God's kingdom? What will we be doing? Many of us associate our salvation and our Christian walk and the work here in the local church, and yet we miss the big picture, the big vision. You see, the church isn't this building. Brick and wood. That's not the church. Yet we always say we're going to church. And It's just a habit. We're going to church. But this isn't his church. You are his church. You are. You're his church. Not this building. This building keeps the elements off of us. Gives us a place to worship. But you are his church. You are the church. I've seen some signs along the road that, you know what's missing in church? You are missing. When you're not here, you are missing. You are the church. The church that Jesus is building is not made with wood or brick. It says in the scriptures in 1 Peter 2:5 that we, the believers, are living stones built up as a spiritual house. So the church is made up of true believers in every generation, in every location. And we form his kingdom. And he has given us a tremendous responsibility. When Jesus was about to ascend to the Father, he gave the disciples his plan for building the kingdom. And it was this: go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:19-20. You see, this is the mission of the church. There's no plan B or C. We each have a role to play in this mission. It's to deliver the message of hope to those who are still trapped in darkness. Colossians 1:13. It is our message to point to them to Jesus, who is the only door to the kingdom in John 10:9. Only God can bring the spiritually dead to life. And so he has entrusted us with explaining all about Jesus. Can you explain about Jesus today? I hope you're here today and you can. I hope you experienced Jesus in your life. I hope you've invited him into your heart and you can explain who Jesus is. He saved us. The gospel we need to share. The word of God we need to witness the truth. It's our testimony. It's God who opens a heart and prepares our hearts to receive the word. It's our job to share his wonderful message to others, that they may also come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It began with the first disciples. The message of the kingdom went through faithfully. It's been proclaimed ever since. And today you and I are still a part of that, the kingdom of the Lord. The message we need to carry. It's been carried around the globe. Many have been reached for Christ. We today, here today, have been reached for Christ. Aren't you glad for a godly home? That's why we're here today. We're to remember those that went before us. Were you glad for godly parents? Was you raised in a Christian home? Was you taken to church and Sunday school? On the way to church this morning, my wife and I were sharing, I can't imagine not going to Sunday school. Sunday school has been such an important part of my life. I grew up with Sunday school. I can't imagine skipping out in Sunday school, but people do. I love Sunday school. It's how we learn to grow. We grow because of Sunday school. We teach that Jesus loves me. And not only does he love me, he loves each and every one of you. And I want to be a testimony to others. There is nothing more worthwhile for you to invest your lives than in the kingdom of God. Yes, it may cost you time. Yes, it may cost you energy. Yes, it may cost you some money. But I can tell you the joy it'll be when we're all together in heaven and someone tells us that we have helped them find the way to the glorious kingdom of God. Wouldn't that be music to your ears that you had a part in that? You had a part in that. Your testimony, your life, your life. Not too long ago, I heard a brother and a sister, I had a conversation that a sister had gone through some many, many trials. The sister was saved. She loved Jesus. The brother was not. And the brother was watching his sister's life throughout their life, how she responded to certain things that happened in her life. And she responded in such a way that it caught this brother's attention. Do you know what he said? After seeing his sister go through such terrible things, and yet she had such a sweet, sweet spirit. He said, I just want what you got. Sis, I want what you got. I need what you have. I need that. What a wonderful testimony. I heard that. I was so rejoicing. She wasn't preachy. She didn't have to preach. She just lived her life for Jesus in the midst of human struggles. And just from her living her precious life for Jesus, her life touched so many, so many. And I know I'm looking out here at some that you have also touched many, more than you'll ever know, just because you love Jesus. And you went through all these things and you still love Jesus. There's people watching your life more than you'll ever realize.